You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
It's a joy, as always, to welcome you to another conversation designed to support and encourage Christians who lead. When I first heard about it, I thought it must be a bit of a stretch. But I was guessing there were some keenies who might be interested. I really wasn't sure that it was for me. I'm referring to an annual event called David's Tent, which is 72 hours of non-stop worship. Now, I like worship as much as anyone, but we're normally talking interspersed worship in a church service, which might last 90 minutes. But a few years back, my wife and youngest son attended in West Sussex. And for various reasons, this last summer, my son wanted to go, but my wife couldn't. So I went along to their new venue in Wiltshire, partly to do the dad oversight of a 20-year-old kind of thing. And having thought that it was probably not my scene, I certainly managed to dip in and out for long enough to realize this was a very special event. And I sensed that I met with God. So I'm joined today by John Kyle, who is the events team manager for David's Tent. And I'm looking forward to discussing some of the leadership and management elements connected with this annual worship extravaganza and other associated activities. So, John, welcome to the Leadership Show.
Thanks, Andy. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Just to get to know you a little bit, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess to sort of cut a long story as short as possible, I'm originally from Belfast, Northern Ireland. I've lived in the south of England for a lot of years now. I live in London. And whenever I first moved to London, I was working in the coffee industry and learning about hospitality, which was great. And through that, through that process, I met a friend of mine at church who was part of the team at David's Tent. And interesting, as you say in the introduction, just about the sound of 72 hours of nonstop worship, whenever I heard that as well, my first thought was, gosh, that sounds a bit bonkers. How on earth do you do that? But gradually, as getting to know him and then getting to know the event, like you realize actually there's something a bit special about it. Anyway, I got to the point where I moved away from coffee and offered the services that I had learned in the hospitality industry to David's Tent. And so I sort of joined the team, and my first role in the team was to set up the cafe, obviously, and then also to run the campsite and the car park. And since then, that was 2016, and I've kind of hung around ever since, to be honest. And over the course of the intervening years, have done a lot of different roles, largely based around the sort of the culture and the operations of the team, and how we kind of run the event. So at the minute, that's largely my job, is I kind of oversee a lot of the operations of our incredible team of volunteers, which I'm sure we'll get into.
I gave the barest of details in my introduction. Perhaps you could fill in the details on how the event came to be, how it runs. And to start with, of course, David is the name of the king and psalmist in the Bible and not some random individual.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That David's Tent does refer to David from the Bible. Interestingly, you call him king. I actually think one of the sort of things that we lean into quite a lot at David's Tent is the idea of David as a priest and as a worshiper.
Okay, sure.
And there's that famous passage about David bringing the ark bringing the art back and dancing in his ephod. And growing up as a good charismatic, I was, you know, we would sing the songs about becoming more undignified.
Right.
And actually gradually over the years, I've learned that more about how David was actually dressed in his priestly garments, his ephod were his priestly garments. And so this sort of picture of David before he was a king, he was a worshiper. And that's kind of what we lean into. I think there's also, let me then give just a wee bit of backstory. The in 2012, before I was part of it, there was a group of worshippers who had the idea, what would it look like if we created a space where we could express our worship like David did, if we were to carve out time purely to express our worship to God because he's worthy of it. And kind of out of that idea, David's tent was born. And one of the sort of beautiful things, I think, is that over the years that we've been going now, so sort of 13 years or so, that idea has essentially stayed unchanged at the center of all that we do. And our objective is very simple, which is that we want to create space for people to encounter God. And you know, both the Old Testament and the New Testament have these multiple references to the idea of the dwelling place of God. In Amos, it talks about restoring David's tabernacle, or restoring David's fallen shelter, and that being a place where God dwells. And that's kind of our heart is to, well, now we have the great blessing of God dwelling in us, but actually being together and carving out that space is a really kind of beautiful and I guess in some ways accelerated place where we can engage with the indwelling of God.
Well, splendid stuff. And of course, the Amos passage is quoted, I think, in Acts, isn't it? As they seek to understand the new covenant and the implications of it. And so it's just to picture it for everyone. There's a large marquee, limited seating, I seem to remember.
Limited to no seating.
Yeah. Limited to no seating, indeed.
Yeah.
And then towards the back, people doing some wonderful paintings and drawings and... You know, maybe 20, 30 people.
I'll talk about the art in a second, but perhaps one thing that I did leave out in my sort of enthusiastic retelling of our history was the structure that we have, like I say, is very simple, but essentially is we meet on Friday afternoon and we start worshiping together and we just continue that worship for 72 hours through the afternoon, evening, through the night, and just in this one space, we don't stop the worship for anything really, and the idea is that we have this sort of unbroken time of worship and unbroken time of the presence of the Lord, and we hold that space very sort of very closely and really really protected. In terms of your reference to the art, you know, our medium primarily is music, but there's a real we have a real appreciation for other forms of worship. So we have space for artists who are able to express their worship through painting and all sorts of various forms of physical art. We have a lady who brings her wheel and throws pots essentially as a form of worship during our time together. There's space for dance and people to express the worship in that way as well. And we have a number of other things just around the site in ways that people can essentially physically express their worship to the Lord.
We've never had an events manager on the Leadership Show. It's really long. I mean, we've almost done 1,000 shows. We really should have had someone before now, John. So I'm not asking you to represent every event, but it is logistically, from a leadership management, astonishing. I mean, there's a ton of events. People around the country, of course, are attending events. So to talk about the logistical challenges of running such an event. When do you roughly start?
Yes. Well, to all my fellow event organizers out there, props to you. It is a year-long, full-time exercise. The way that we as a team do it, and each event is slightly different. We have essentially a very small team of people who are employed year-round to do it. So we have a team of about 8 people who spend varying degrees of time throughout the year, kind of piecing together the administration and the logistics. But the nature of an event like ours is we turn up in a completely empty field. And so everything that you experience or encounter or see at an event like Davis Tent has had to be planned and then brought in to create that space for people. So the logistics are incredibly complex. Other events are of different size and scale to what we do. But in some ways, the size and scale matters minimally. The amount of logistical administrative planning is huge. And then the second aspect to that, Andy, obviously is the people. And we actually have we have the most incredible group of people who come and serve alongside us each year. And that's a huge operation, which again takes the majority of the year to kind of coordinate and manage and lead.
Just to explain, you have different bands or singers or worship leaders who, so you'll have a number, some repeated during the 72 hours. So and some of those are flying in from different parts of the world.
Yeah, we have, it sort of fluctuates a little bit each year, but we probably have somewhere between 50 and 60 different worship teams who come and serve over the course of the weekend. And they are largely UK, largely from the UK, from churches all around the country. And we also have a number of guests who will come in, usually from the States, and fly over for the weekend to worship with us. Yeah.
And location wise, you've moved from West Sussex to Wiltshire?
We have. Yes. That was a move we did last year. As in all sort of organizational things, there's a sort of, we're trying to keep the tension and keep the balance between the what practically makes sense and what allows us to create the kind of space and the kind of event that we want to create. And then on the other side is really trying to follow the leading of the Lord. And go sort of step by step with where he wants to take us. So yeah, as you say, in this just last year, 2024, for the first time, we moved site from Whiston over to a spot called Charlton Park in West Sussex. It's this beautiful, very flat, very picturesque estate. And it's just a great spot to be in, and really part of it is that it's a great part of the country to be in as well.
Yeah, I think you said West Sussex. You mean Wiltshire, do you?
Wiltshire. We were in West Sussex. And
so
we
you were.
My apologies.
No. Just in case people were confused. Yeah. No, it is. Well, it's a gorgeous place and a large manor house and kind of surrounds and plenty of room for expansion. Which is your numbers are what sort of numbers have you been getting?
We over the years we have sort of just steadily and through word of mouth grown. And at the moment we're around between 4,000 and 6,000 pretty consistently over the last number of years.
Yeah. And just to explain, I mean, some people, I guess, would do 72 hours worship, but most people are dipping in and out all the time. I was about 12 in all honesty over the, I was in 4 or 5 times. Maybe more, but yeah.
I think part of what we want to do is recognize the the real kind of community nature of being together at something like that. There's a lot of people who come as church communities, and so they will, you know, come together as a group. There's also a lot of people who will come either on their own or in small groups. But whenever you kind of set aside that time with little else on the agenda apart from being with the Lord and being together, the opportunities for community are really rich. And so actually, whenever I sort of first heard about it, that was my question, was like, gosh, how many people like stay in the tent for 72 hours? And the reality is probably not very many, which is good, I think. But actually that kind of sense of freely coming and going, the real difference between what we do from a Sunday morning service, for example, is we've just got rid of the time restrictions. And so actually the sort of fruit of that is this, is a freedom to, I guess a freedom to explore more than you usually would. You know, we often, I think this was a realization that we had sort of 3 or 4 years ago, and maybe you'll have to go with me a little on this one, but we realize that actually what we're doing is a retreat. We're kind of hosting a retreat. And for a lot of people, the idea of going on retreat with 6,000 people sounds terrifying. And I totally understand that. But the real sort of value of retreat is things like being able to step outside of the usual flow of your everyday life, being able to, with that kind of time, being able to gain perspective that perhaps you don't have in the day to day. It is being able to have much longer conversations, for example, both with each other and with God. It's having that time to, in the world of spiritual practices, whenever one of the aspects of retreat is the idea of allowing your, we talk a lot about allowing your soul to catch up with your body or your mind, or allowing the dust to settle. And actually that nature of retreat is something that is really prevalent in that time and space. So the nature of kind of coming and going in and out of the tent is one of the really kind of quite special and unique things that we do. Any time of day or night, there will be an opportunity for you to encounter God in the tent and kind of be with him and journey with him. So
you have a number of different music styles, of course, the various bands. Do you have any kind of parameters? Do you try and think, oh, let's include a bit of this, bit of that, bit of the other? Or how does it kind of work out?
Good question. The sort of very short answer is yes and no. And by that, I mean, if we're thinking about parameters, the only, I guess the way that we think about it is how we as worshipers or as musicians or worship leaders, and the conversation that we have with all the worship leaders is how our job is to serve the body. Our job is to through the medium of music and sound is kind of create this sort of pathway or passageway for the body to engage with God. And so, you know, there in some ways there are some constraints within that that generally lends itself better to certain styles of music than other styles. There are some kinds of music that are much, you know, aren't necessarily geared towards bringing the room along with you, perhaps. And so in that sense, there are some kind of parameters around what we would try and do. We will always ask that question of like, how will this expression serve the body? How will this expression allow people to engage with the presence of God? That said, we're also really intent on having as full an expression of the body of Christ as we can in the people that we have coming. And so we are very, we try and be as purposeful as we can to make sure that a lot of different church expressions are represented in the musicians and the worship leaders that we have coming. So we do have a wide range of musicians coming, and we're always keen to make sure that we are doing what we can to represent the church as fully as possible.
Well, you will know that the worship can be a source of some tension within local churches. I guess in some ways, people can just leave if they don't quite like it. they know there's something else going to be starting up soon. I don't know if that's an issue at all, if you've found that over the years.
I think that's a good question. And we could kind of unpack that, you know, over a long period of time. I guess how I would say that we sort of approach that is a couple of things. One is the way that we engage with the musicians that come is we try and do it through relationship. So in that sense, we're perhaps what we are trying to do is slightly different from a normal quote-unquote festival, shall we say, or sort of music festival. The similarities that we have are we have a lot of different musicians all playing kind of one after the other. And so in that sense, it has a certain sort of festival feel. That's sort of where it ends in that sense. And actually beyond that, our goal is to do something quite different than that sort of usual, perhaps music festival kind of vibe. And essentially what we are wanting to do is to create a communal experience and a communal expression. And the way that we try and do that is where at all possible through relationship with the musicians who come. So our conversations with each of them will be around coming to serve the body, as I said previously, coming to bring an offering of their worship for the Lord. And I think as we approach what we do through relationship, there's sort of two dynamics. On the one hand, our conversation to them is come and express yourself, come and kind of bring the expression that you have, bring what you feel the Lord is saying to you, come and be part of communicating what you see God doing in your church, or even in your city, or even in the country more broadly. And then the other side of that is we are asking them to come and participate in the bigger picture of what we're doing. And so that, I think if we have those conversations through relationship, it means that you have one church that does 20 minutes, 3 fast and 2 slow. And then you have another church that does 2 hours where there's maybe one song. And on the face of it, you have these two expressions that are very different, but they're both being invited into something that where they're essentially being invited to sort of serve in the same way, as it were. And so I think the upshot of that, hopefully, is in the room or in the tent, is that we will have people who are coming from all sorts of different church backgrounds and church experiences, maybe haven't been in a church where this other expression is commonplace, but actually because we have this common goal of being in a space with God, wanting to express and pour out our worship to God, actually we find that a lot of people have real profound moments with the Lord, even in those sorts of church expressions that they're not often used to, or perhaps haven't been around all that much. And I think the other dynamic is what we find is the musicians all kind of feed off each other, or or sort of, you know, flow from each other, perhaps, if that's not too sort of ethereal a way of describing it. But there's this sort of give and take, even amongst the kind of the worshippers as well, which is really cool.
John, time's almost gone, but just to say, it's more than just a one-off summer event. You have other events during the year.
Yes, we do, Andy. We have a series of worship nights, which we try and do all over the country, where all possible. An opportunity for us to come and serve the kind of local church and the local community. And we have a Friday evening, usually lasts for about 3 hours. And it's kind of Davis Tent, but just condensed down into sort of a 3-hour window.
Brilliant. And your website for people to access and
maybe
book up for this summer?
Yes. Best place to find us is either davidstent.net, or you can find us on our social media platforms is also a good spot. And all of our sort of information and equally more sort of in-depth exploration of our sort of heart and vision and what it is that we want to try and do. All of that is on there as well.
Brilliant. Well, it's been a joy to chat with you. It's sad it's taken me almost 1,000 shows to have an events manager on, but hey, and thank you for sharing so much about Davis Tent. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Andy.
It was super to chat with John Kyle, the events manager of Davis Tent. The dates, if you're interested in finding out more, 22nd to the 25th of August. I think that's the last bank holiday Monday included in Wiltshire, UK, near Malmesbury. And great to chat with him and sense his enthusiasm for what they're doing. Maybe 72 hours of worship isn't your kind of thing, but some interesting reflections on the importance of making sure that worship is at the heart of the life of God's people. So as always, you can find more archive versions of The Leadership Show. Go to Premier Plus, the app or the website, type in The Leadership Show, or you can go to the podcast provider, Apple, Podbean, Spotify, type in The Leadership Show or indeed The Leadership File, its former name, and you'll get hundreds of former conversations with leaders to help and support you where God has placed you to be. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company. Looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.